We hope you are healthy and happy. KGVM audience, we want to help you increase your health and happiness with this program on KGVM 95.9 FM or KGVM.org. I am Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist with Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. We are the hosts on this program, supported by the Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association. We thank the expert production by Bob Wall, Everything KGVM, Music and Computers. Now Dr. Suzanne introduces today's program.
We read from the Harvard Medical School publication that each of us should check our holiday gift lists and consider giving a gift that can get someone started on a new hobby. It might just be the gift that keeps on giving. A study published online September 11th, 2023 by Nature Medicine suggests that having a hobby is good for your health, your mood, and more. Researchers combed through five large studies involving more than 93,000 people across 16 countries, including the U.S., Japan, China, and a dozen European countries. Participants were all 65 and older, and more than 60% had had long-standing mental or physical health conditions. When they gave them questionnaires about their health and well-being and followed them for 4 to 8 years, which is an unusually in-depth study, compared with people who didn't have hobbies, those who did reported better health, more happiness, fewer symptoms of depression, and higher life satisfaction. The findings were similar across all countries. Wow! So, think of your gift giving this year. We hope to talk today about the why for a fun hobby, but also here to tell us about the how is a person with one of the most unusual and historic and unique hobbies out there. Welcome to Pam McCutcheon, a local realtor who shares her creative time with a dragon boat. Yes, I said dragon boat. Welcome, Pam. And just what in the world is a dragon boat?
Well, hello, and thanks for having me. A dragon boat is a team. It is a 20-man canoe where you paddle. Each canoer will take, or each paddler will take one side. We have a steersman in the back, and we have a drummer in the front. There are competitions. We go to Canada. Some of us have been to Hong Kong, California, Tempe, Arizona, Calgary, Lethbridge, Polson. So there's dragon boats actually all over the world. And it is a team sport. And we have about 25 active members. Now, before COVID, we actually had closer to 45. We had an all-women's team and a mixed team. So we're trying to get back to having the all-women's as well. It is a great way to have friends, get exercise, compete, and just have fun. You know, we know exercise keeps everybody happy, you know?
Certainly does. So much research supports that comment, Pam. Well, yeah. I love the idea you had an all-women team, too. I have a phone number here. Maybe you want to give a more updated phone number, if anybody will give the number now. And then we could give it again later if people want to call and inquire about becoming a member.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So is it still 406-582-4990, Pam?
No. I'm not sure who that is, but I will give you my number. A text is the best way to get a hold of me, but I certainly take phone calls too. And it's 406-220-2013.
Very good.
206-220-2013.
And let's give that again toward the end. So if people don't have pencil and paper handy, we'll go over that again. That's great.
Yes, perfect. So, and our season generally starts in May when ice is off the lakes, and we go to mid-late September, depending on weather conditions in Montana and who's motivated.
Yes, and this has been a good fall for that, hasn't it?
It's been a beautiful fall. Our last race was the second week in September. So, you know, once you finish up, all of a sudden school's starting for people, and people are starting to think about cross-country skiing or getting back into their pickleball game or whatever. But we practice, it's only once a week as we get closer to festivals, which are competitions. We'll do twice a week. It is a competitive team. A lot of dragon boat teams are recreational. It's fun. You know, just because the word competitive is in there, we have fun paddling. We have more fun winning. But we all do our best. We all work really hard. And that's what a team is. And we definitely are looking to grow the club. We're looking for people that have paddling experience, whether it's canoeing, paddleboarding, because, again, it is fairly competitive. But not all teams are. But we only have one in Bozeman. And there's a team in Helena as well, and then Missoula has the Silver Linings, which is a breast cancer survivor group. And they've got all kinds of teams and different paddling things. And it's really exciting. And the sisterhood there is just amazing. It's priceless.
Yes, that sounds amazing. Wow. Well, I think for those interested in historical relevancy, we should point out that a dragon boat is a human-powered watercraft originating from the Pearl River Delta region of China's southern Guangdong province. They were originally made of teak, but other kinds of wood could be used, and it's been found throughout Asia, Africa, the Pacific Islands, and Puerto Rico. The sport of dragon boat racing has its roots in an ancient folk ritual of contending villagers, which dates back 2,000 years and even further to the original games of Olympia in ancient Greece. Both dragon boat racing and the ancient Olympiad included aspects of religious observances and community celebrations, along with your big word there, competition. So, and it began as a modern international sport in Hong Kong in 1976. So to me, it sounds like not only are you getting a lot of exercise, really powerful exercise, and camaraderie and closeness with the team and good competition, but there's a lot of travel involved. Tell us, Pam, where all have you been with the dragon boat?
Well, just last year we were in Lethbridge. Well, I take that back. We were in Tempe and March, my husband and myself got on another team, which we've met through the years of dragon boat racing. And then in April, we were on a Long Beach team in California. Again, we've met these people at different dragon boat competitions. And then our team, our Bozeman team, went to Lethbridge, Canada. We couldn't get a full team for Calgary. We really wanted to do that. We had hoped to go to Vegas, but they had canceled, for some reason, the competition this year. Lake Las Vegas is a blast.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really fun. So we're having a meeting next week to discuss where we want to sign up for competitions. And it's a family deal. You know, there are people, we camp there. A lot of people have their babies, and a spouse or a grandma or somebody takes over while they paddle. And you just meet people from, you know, not just all over the country, but sometimes all over the world, you know?
Yes.
And it's really great. And our team has evolved. My husband, Corey, and I have been doing this. I think this is our 14th year. Terry Johnson was the founder, and he was amazing. And our club bought a dragon boat from China. And so we have that to practice in, which is wonderful. So my husband coaches the mixed team. I will co-coach. I was the coach of the women's, but we didn't have it the last couple of years. So I was out of job, a non-paying job.
Not fair.
And we always bring snacks afterwards and kind of talk about practice and then get to, you know the other team members. This year we picked up a few in their early 40s, which we're excited about. Because the sport seems to be getting a little bit younger, and seems like I'm getting a little bit older. Not sure how that happens, but but we've got some new paddlers, which are new to our dragon boat, and it's awesome. And the energy that comes with it, and the teamwork and organization. You know, we have a board. We have people doing different jobs. My husband every week goes and picks up the boat. He built a trailer for it. And we get the boat, put it in the water. We have, our one-hour practice. And then we get to hang out and connect and talk about where we're going and what else. We've done fun events like, hey, let's all hit the Yellowstone. Bring your own watercraft, and we all might paddleboard down on the Yellowstone or kayak or whatever. But it really, I think, helps build a better relationship with your team, and it's tons of fun.
Certainly, and a big part of having a hobby can be the interactions with others in your group. I know that I just want to mention here, we first saw a dragon boat at the Sweet Pea Parade this year, and it's just beautiful. It's a work of art and just amazing to see. And I think people might enjoy the beauty and the grace of it, along with all the exercise and travel. And it's just a beautiful construction of a dragon. And so I was wondering too, it sounds like your husband built a trailer. I was wondering, how do you convey a 20, 30 foot boat here and there? But it sounds like sometimes you go and join other boat teams in far away locations rather than transport your boat.
That's a good thought. Our boat is only used locally. And when you go to a competition, they have sanctioned boats. So everybody is the same exact boat. You don't have to bring anything with you, which is wonderful. So our boat lives in Bozeman, stays in Bozeman. But if we compete, they have all the boats. We like to bring our own paddles. We like to bring our own life vests, but they have that too.
That's interesting. Now, you said you have one more practice coming up, maybe, or one more meeting?
No more. We just have a meeting. We have our end of the year meeting just to decide, you know, where we're going next year, who wants to do what races. You know, some people have relatives in Colorado, and they're like, let's go to Colorado or wherever it may be. So we hope to get that together. We'll appoint new board members and just, you know, get ready, get everybody pumped up, talk about what they're going to do for training in the off season.
Yes, that would be very necessary to keep up with this kind of exertion.
Yeah, I think you really need to.
So,
but most of all, it's fun. It's a great workout. You're out on the lake. The sun is shining. Even when it's windy and the rain might be coming, we just have a good time.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Is there any one team, kind of like in football or basketball, they always have the top rating, the top 10 that everybody kind of shoots to dethrone? Is there a team somewhere that has that reputation?
Yeah, that would be us.
Oh, all right.
and most places. Now, there's a few teams in, they're just getting younger and tougher and that, you know, we like to be, we're neck and neck with some of the upper teams. But locally, like in Polson, we took first in about everything. And it was fun. And maybe it was fun because we took first. I don't know. But, no, it was a really well-run event and great vendors. You know, at these festivals, there's food and you can shop for things. And you just, you know, sometimes they have the Chinese dragon festivities, awakening of the dragon, and just a lot of really awesome things. So,
you know, we need to put something out there when we can watch. Do you have a date for that Pulsum meet yet?
I don't. This past year it was in September, and now I'm hearing it might be in July. But you can go to our Facebook page. It's Bozeman Vikings, Bozeman Vikings Dragon Boat Club. And we'll be, as it gets closer, updating what we're doing and, you know, where we're going. A lot of times people will find us that way and say, hey, I just moved to Bozeman. I hear this dragon boat. Can I come? And we say, yes. Yeah. So what we'll probably do this year is have an intro for a lot of people that haven't really paddle dragon boat. They're kind of interested, but they're not really sure how this all works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hopefully get some more interest, and we'd have some more teams.
Well, you know, I feel like with the university right here, if we were to pull that boat over to the campus and park it there with a few of you to talk about it, it seems like there'd be a number of our university students who'd love to participate.
That is a great idea. That's a really good idea. And those are the teams that generally beat us, are these young college teams.
Well,
but that would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, we've reached out, but now it's getting a little more, we're getting more notice by doing the parade that we did and trying to have a little more community outreach, you know, that's, you know, that's big. And we're really excited and, you know, everybody gets to paddle. You just have to make sure you come to practice, you have a good attitude, and it's a heck of a workout paddling for 1 hour.
Well,
you know,
that brings up a couple of questions, Pam. What ages, are there age limits? How would you describe the age category?
Well, I think the youngest you can be is 16.
Okay, 15.
I mean, they have kids' boats, but we don't. You know, we don't have enough for a children's team. But I think, let's see. You can be, I think Terry was in his 80s, you know.
Okay.
And there's a lot of us, got a lot of people in their 60s doing it. And again, it's a great workout. We all have tons of fun. And yeah, so no restrictions. You just got to be able to get in and out of a boat, you know, safely. Yeah.
And then be able to row.
To paddle, right.
Yes.
And we help with the technique because it's different than canoeing. Like a canoer will say, oh, yeah, I canoe. I can do this. And it's like, well, yeah, you probably can, but it's a different stroke than a canoe. But it's, you know, we have good instruction, I think. And, yeah, anybody can learn that.
Mm-hmm. So, Pam, how did you and your husband end up getting involved with dragon boats?
Well, that is a good question. So, my husband was friends with Terry Johnson from other activities, Livery Johnson and, you know, just triathlons and different things. And Terry, when we were in Florida visiting some friends, said, come to Homosassa. And it's like, okay. So we went to visit him, and there was a dragon boat festival. And they needed a woman paddler. They needed a man paddler. It's like, I've never paddled before. And they said, hop in the boat. So I did. And we were hooked. So then we came back, and Terry really wanted to get a team going. And Corey and I got, we were there all the time. There's a whole different group. It was a ton of fun, but we didn't have a dragon boat. We had this big, heavy, half, I don't know what it was. It was like a 10-person, and that thing weighed so much. And we used that until we could get our own boat. But Terry was the master. He was our coach, and we still say we're doing this for Terry because he just really inspired all of us. You know, he did it into his 80s. He ended up being the steersman until he actually crashed into a boat and we were disqualified. But that's another story. Nobody got hurt. And you know what? We all made friends. It was like, whoops, when they saw that it was a 80-something-year-old man that crashed, they're like, oh, my gosh, let's have a beer, you know. And,
exactly.
And that's kind of what we did. And each year it has grown, and there's a lot of members that's been, well, not a lot, there's probably 5 or 6 of us that's been doing it all 14 years. There's, you know, many that's been 7 or 8 years. And, but it's passion. And, my husband and I met a gal at a Run for Recovery many years ago. We looked at her and we're like, oh yeah, this girl's a Viking. So we said, please come. You know, she was, early 30s then, maybe late 20s. And, she's a beast. She brings it. And, she's one of our strokers up front. And she's tough, and she and her husband have been coming, 8 or 9 years, and she loves it. you know, he loves it. And she'll bring friends, and, you know, it's got to be the right fit. But it seems to be working. And, you know, again, we have some new people, some people that come and go. But I think as the town grows, so will our Dragon Boat Club and commitment. And, again, what you said about physical health and mental health, it's critical. I think it's important to have a belonging to a group, and this is just one way to, you know, belong to a group, a sense of accomplishment, having fun. You know, we have holiday parties. We might have a barbecue at one of the paddlers' houses. But it's really great, you know. And
I can really... Yeah, I can really validate how great that kind of effort is, and that each of us should participate in some form of this kind of activity. I'm going to quote from an analysis of four different research-based studies about hobbies. And this is from the Association of Enjoyable Leisure Activities and the Psychosomatic Medical Journal, and this was in 2010 in May. Consistent with study hypotheses, individuals who engaged in more frequent, enjoyable leisure activities had better psychological and physical functioning. They reported greater physical effects, life satisfaction, life engagement, social support, as well as lower depression. Significantly, they also had lower blood pressure and better perceived physical function. The scores were positively correlated with better self-reported sleep along with more exercise. So what you're doing is actually extremely research-based, and I think shows that it's necessary for each of us to consider doing something that connects us with a vibrant hobby and with other folks. So we really want to substantiate what you guys are doing, Pam.
Well, that is awesome. I mean, it's just like, and I know it's not Dragon Boat, but like pickleball. When you go play pickleball, you see a smile on everybody's face. They're meeting people. They're, and it's predominantly, you know, people over 55. There's younger people that are really getting into it, but the same thing. The happiness level in physical activity, in a team especially, is just so good for your mental.
And, yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I love that you don't have any certain age group. I need to just throw in here that I ran my first half marathon at age 64 by accident. I was trying to do a little 5K. So I can say that you're able to do a lot more than you ever thought. And when you reach out and do it, you feel so good. We all should get to enjoy that feeling.
I agree 100%.
One problem we found, though, mentioning age, is that when the awards were passed out, they had categories like every 5 years until they got to about 60, and then they started jumping 10-year increments. And we had a lot of trouble if you were 60 and going or 70 going against somebody 61, then that didn't seem fair. So we found that unfair.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. But like here, Sweet Pea, I think it actually you have 60 to 64 and then 65 to 69 or something. But yeah, they need to have them because if you're going to work that hard, and we all know each year it gets a little tougher, you know.
Well, yeah.
But you want to get the recognition that, you know, you probably deserve.
Well, and also sometimes you get an undeserved reward. Like I was remember being in a 5K with an 80-something-year-old, and She came in second to me, but there wasn't a category for her. She should have received a trophy, but because of the age discrimination, I just felt really badly about it, you know, because she was remarkable. And so
I agree 100%.
And I love that you guys have as one of your mentors a person who was active into his 80s, but we'd also like to encourage the college age and 15 years and up to think about the wonders of a dragon boat. And
we would like to encourage the college age, the younger people, because it is, we have two boys that are, I think, 23 and 26, new to our team this year. They bring so much energy and so much fun, and they love being with us, and they're really strong. so it's a good time. You know, they go out to dinners with us, they hang, and doesn't matter that we're older than their parents.
No, it's all about the dragon boat, the camaraderie, and competing.
I have a different kind of question. The way the boats are decorated, is there any regulations, or can you paint them any color you want? And for those who haven't seen one, you have a dragon on the front, like it comes up kind of a curved way and has the head of a dragon. Is that correct?
That is correct. Well, at competitions, there'll be, you know, a blue dragon, a red dragon, a green dragon. So I don't know that there's any specific color, but yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't really think it matters. Our dragon boat is green, so our uniforms are green, and it's kind of fun. And you know, we have evolved. We used to, I think I bought the first t-shirts as long as they said Small Dog Realty on them. I said, I'll pay for them. And then my husband got his Valinga Real Estate logo on there. And then, you know, that's just kind of how it evolved. But they're great little jerseys. And every time we go to a festival and we see somebody with, like, matching sweats and things, we're like, oh, we've got to get those. But it's very inexpensive. We do have club paddles, but I think if you are a paddler, I recommend having your own fiberglass, lightweight, quick paddles. But really, it's like $75 a year, and we have insurance on our boat. We have the boat. We have instruction. We have extra life vests, but again, if you're a water person, you'll probably have your own life vest, and you should. So it's relatively very inexpensive to get into.
That was going to be one of my next questions. So that is some of the cheapest exercise around.
You got that.
That is
so
cool. And I understand the crew of a standard dragon boat has 22 team members or 20. And they've mentioned that traditional ones in Asia might have up to 50 paddlers, but here you have closer to 20.
I've never seen that.
No. And I'm particularly interested in the position of drummer and how they keep the beat and how remarkable that is, that it pulses through you, this beat that the drummer kind of described to us. Who all is in the boat? Who's standing? Who's drumming? Who's sitting? Kind of tell us a typical scenario, Pam.
I sure will. So the drummer's going to be up front. The drummer sets our time. Boom, boom. Depending on if we've got a fast cadence, slow, we're going to start out with our five hard paddles. Five again, a little bit harder, a little faster. 10. Faster, then we drop into long and strong, and it's boom, boom, you know, and then we might have a call a power 10 to really dig deep and get ahead if someone's like right on us. So the drum boat during practice, we usually don't have a drummer. Doesn't mean we've just never had one to say, hey, I'll come to every practice and drum. But the drummer has to be able to have the beat. So the strokers kind of set the pace for the team, and they're pretty strong. They have, I think, big leadership because they're going to call it out. And on our team, the strokers will call it, and the drummer drums to the strokers. Okay. Each seat has a different specific purpose. So, like in the way back, the seat's very, very narrow. So in 10, not everybody can sit in 10. So you need two smaller hipped people to fit because it's very tight. Okay. So, and then the steersman is behind the seat 10. In the middle, you're going to have all your power. You know, we call that the engine room. And you're just, you know, so, but it's all about balance. On the left side, on the right side, on the front, on the back, it's got to be balanced. And you can't be too heavy up front or too heavy in back. And so there's a lot of mathematical equations there trying to go into, ooh, you know, where are we and who can be here? And, you know, some people like, I want to be in this seat. Well, yeah, sometimes you got to earn a certain seat. But there's not one seat on that boat that isn't important. And we are a team, and our motto is paddle till you puke. nobody ever has, but it's like when you are in, because these races are maybe 2 minutes and 31 seconds for a 500 meter. And it's like, you know what? I don't care how tired you are. You're doing this for your team. And if one person gives up and they weigh 140 pounds, well, then everybody else is having to pull that 140, and we're not getting anything out of them. So it's hurting our team. So when you commit to the actual event, you got to just paddle, and you just keep telling yourself it's a little over 2 minutes. A lot of them are 250s, and they're fast sprints, and you know, the rush of adrenaline is so amazing. You know, everybody feels it. You're, you know, taking a good breath in, a breath out, you're focused, and your eyes are in the boat. And when they blow the whistle or the blow the horn, we go, and you just paddle all the way through, and then you find out where you placed. So, but it's just fun. You know, even when you don't win it all, it's fun.
Oh, and my goodness, so many benefits.
Making connections and following them on Facebook. And, you know, you got friends all over the country, you know, and we get invited. We were invited to Portland. We couldn't go, but they needed like six paddlers or something. So it's really a great way to connect to people all over.
I know that we've talked about some of the values, and you mentioned that you'd had one accident. What are some of the risks involved, and how do you guys deal with those?
Well, so we have safety protocol. Like if the boat ever would turn over, like crosswinds or whatever, which knock on wood has not with us, the first thing you do is you look for your partner. Okay, you cannot leave your partner. So look, see what color life vest they have on, what color, and make sure they're not stuck under the boat. Again, we've never had that. So that's a good thing. But we had an incident this year that another team was in one of the boats, and they were too front heavy, and they got big waves, and they got waterlogged, and they just sunk. So they had to have rescue boats come out and get them. And, you know, they made sure they had the count. So you're it's like the buddy system kind of. But again, we've never had that. I think you should know how to swim if you're in the water.
Yes. So you do have a very strong safety protocol, and you would all know exactly what to do if an accident were to happen. Yeah.
That's correct. And, you know, we talk about big winds and different things with, you know, if it's really windy, what to do with your paddle, how to hold the boat, how to steady the boat, but you want to keep paddling. And I feel like when we go out there, everybody knows what they are doing. You know, they have all been trained, and again, hopefully we never have a problem.
Yes. It sounds like once you become a member of this team, you're actually a dragon boat professional who knows how to navigate the dragon boat world. Yes.
Kind of, yes. But you know what we are looking for are more steersmen. And something. They actually have steersmen schools. But we would love to get more people involved in being a steersman. At the festivals, if you don't have a steers person, they can provide one for you. But overall, like at practice, it'd be nice to have more than two steersmen so they can also paddle. You know, otherwise they're controlling the boat and they are in control, and you have to make sure they know what they're doing.
Well, and I really appreciate the outreach. Like, we had never heard of dragon boat racing before we were in the Sweet Pea Parade this year. So going to schools, going to the university, when you could take that dragon boat, I think people would just be unable to resist, quite a few, because it's such an exciting and historic and really cultural experience. And and just going on with our support for why we would do this, from the medical group Kaiser Permanente, they said that you're likely to have lower stress levels. They're talking not just about your good exercise and how you feel, but your medical status. You have a lower heart rate, better mood. It reduces, I think this is important, certain heart disease, certain cancers and diabetes, probably more, but the research supports that as this point. And it suggests that if you get in at least 150 minutes of moderate to intense activity a week, you're cutting your risk of overall early death by 31%. Even low-intensity physical activity for less than an hour each week could trim your risk by 18%. And you were saying you guys do this about an hour a week for practice.
Right.
So physical activity also, according to Kaiser Permanente, leads to better mental health. And a large-scale study of more than 1.2 million Americans found that people who exercised reported 43% fewer days of feeling poor mental health. And if you head to the great outdoors for your activity, which you guys certainly do, research finds that simply spending 2 hours a week in nature can positively affect your health and well-being overall. So time to start thinking about forest bathing or dragon boat racing. They also mention just simple things like a local sports league, like kickball or volleyball or pickleball, which you had mentioned, yoga, resistance band exercises, swimming in your community pools, going for a walk around your neighborhood, or joining a walking, running, or biking group. But I would also recommend highly that folks out there consider checking into Dragon Boat.
Yes.
Let's go over your website again and your phone number again now that people have a pen or pencil ready, Pam.
Okay, so my phone number, again, if you want information about dragon boating next year, is 406-220-2013. And you can find us, I'm just now looking at our Bozeman Dragon Boat, Bozeman Viking Dragon Boat Club on Facebook. And you can also just direct message us, and you can see a lot of the festivals in here or get-togethers. It's tons of fun. And we'd love to have new people come and experience this, because it's really been such a bonding experience for our team. You know, my husband and myself, it's just, we really look forward to it. We're not sure next year what night of the week it's going to be on yet. We'll discuss that with the team, but have people reach out to me, send me a text or email pam@smalldogrealty.com. I can get you information on it and put you in touch with some of the team members if you wanted to train with them this winter.
And I would like to point out that the phone number for the Facebook article, which is one of the things I have in front of me, is incorrect. And so please just give us your phone number one more time.
It might be correct, but I don't know whose it is.
Oh.
You want to talk to me. Definitely want to talk to me. It's 406-220-2013.
And that is so helpful, Pam. And you were mentioning exercising off-season to prepare. Tell us more about that, please.
You know, it's things just like cross-country skiing, going to the gym, especially getting your cardio up, keeping your upper body strong, using a rowing machine or, you know, whatever. You just want to stay physically fit, so the first month that we go out, you're just not, you know, gasping for breath.
Yes.
So, but yeah, there's all kinds of things you could do. You know, Montana, there's just always something to do outside, 100%.
When you do the dragon boat rowing, is there any kind of particular attire that you wear, a certain kind of shoe, anything like that?
You know, a good water shoe is fine. Some people go barefoot. I went to that little store downtown, Steo, and they had some great water shoes. You know, you're wear what you wear on a boat. So if it's 90 degrees out, it's going to be shorts and a sleeveless shirt. You know, if it's cold and rainy, you're going to probably have some wind gear and, you know, tights or whatever. So you just want something that you can move, you know, you can move around in and, exercise in. And a lot of times when it's really hot, half the team jumps in the pond. It's like, okay, so don't wear your Sunday best. How's
yes,
that?
Yes. I was just visualizing that once you become adept at being a dragon boat rower or steerer or drummer, you're not just based in Bozeman and with this group. You can connect with groups all over the world, and you can go and work out with others in the middle of the winter who live in Florida. You mentioned Hong Kong, so tell us a little bit about other locations and sites where people could go in the world to participate.
Well, you can go all over. Hong Kong, it was before COVID, really wanted a U.S. team, and we're, you know, our team's like, oh, that's great. So there's probably 16 maybe that went over to Hong Kong for that. But like for us, if I'm going to be in California, I can look up, I know people, dragon boat groups, and say, hey, can we paddle with you? Of course they let you. Sometimes people call us and say, I'm in town, I love the Dragon Boat, and you bet, come on in. It's a full, wonderful community, a family of paddlers, so to speak, you know? And it's pretty awesome. And we've just met so many great friends through the years with this.
You know, one thing about running that I've loved over our lifetime is that wherever you go, whether it's Hong Kong, which we did, we loved running there, or San Francisco, or Bozeman, you can run anywhere. And so for those looking to travel, you could dragon boat anywhere. I think that's a really neat aspect of this. And you have a community of like-minded, agile friends who are able to do this, and you can connect almost anywhere you go.
Yeah, we love New Orleans in particular.
Oh, yeah, there's dragon boating there. And all somebody would have to do is look up, you know, dragon boat clubs in the area. And then reach out to who's ever manning the Facebook page or whatever. Just say, I'm in town for 2 weeks. Can I come practice? You might learn something new. There might be a new festival somewhere. You might, you know, come back and say to the team, hey, we should go such and such. It looks like a ton of fun.
Where do you guys practice here? What kind of water? Is it a lake or the river?
Oh, not the river. We practice over at Glen Lake. That's where we've been for years, over at Rotary Park there off of Manly. And sometimes towards the end of the season, we'll take our boat up to Highlight, which we just adore because you just got so much water there. But, you know, things are getting crowded in Bozeman. It's getting tougher and tougher to find.
Yeah, the Rotary Park can be busy at times.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we get there early and, you know, we've been doing it and we've talked. I was in Rotary for 13 years. We've been talking about, you know, maybe them putting in some kind of boathouse or something for us because it's not a fad. Dragon boating has been around a long time and there's a specific user group, and as we grow, hopefully, you know, we'll be there more.
That's a good thought.
You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that develops. And I want to go back to Hong Kong, so I probably need to start working out on a dragon boat.
Yeah, right. That's right. Working out now. So, yeah, come paddle. Come check it out this spring. And we're going to have demo days. We hope to get a little more press on us. And, you know, we'd love to see the sport grow and be much bigger in Bozeman.
Yes, and there's actually an International Dragon Boat Federation, the world governing body for the sport. And so it's a recognized sport, and so once you become a part of this, you're part of a worldwide network then.
Right. That's true. That's an exciting way to put it. So very good. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope we get a lot of people to come and at least try to experience our Dragon Boat Club. And, you know, maybe join us.
Yes, it was a very fun group that we met at the parade. And they seemed to be just so happy about what they were doing. And I found it just purely exciting to see a dragon boat and people who would propel that boat all just having a grand lot of fun. And I think you've said that.
That's right.
So many times, and it just looked exactly like that.
And we do. We have tons of fun. And, you know, the problem with living out here in the summer is there's so many activities. So, you know, some places they practice 3 and 4 days a week. We don't ask that of our people because we know people are busy. And, you know, we can be effective just even one day a week.
But even if people do a group exercise one day a week, that doesn't mean they can't be running a few miles or going to the gym the other days of the week, so
oh,
I'm sure.
Well, that's the problem. They're too busy. They're hiking, they're biking. They're
yes.
Doing all kinds of stuff. So, oh, no, we've got a great team,
yeah.
And I hope people come out and check us out.
That's also preparation. Any kind of activity would help prepare you to man an oar in a dragon boat. So, well, Pam, this has just been an exploration into Asian history and Olympic history, and we really appreciate having such an historic group here in Bozeman, and we appreciate all that you've done to foster this sport. We hope it does turn out to be a new fixture at Rotary Park.
Before we end, we have a minute or so. Is there any area that we haven't covered that's important for people to know about dragon boating?
No, I think you covered a lot. You covered that it's a low-cost sport here in Bozeman. Our teams right now are competitive. It's for all ages, 16 and up. And people that just want to work hard and have fun, meet people, and help grow the dragon boat community and tradition. And like to travel. There is, like I said, there is travel. So you got to be able to do that.
Every one of those aspects is terrific for mental and physical health.
Yes, ma'am. Sure is.
Well, we thank you so much. This has been fascinating. And it'd be great to have you back in the future to talk about more of the exciting events and how it's growing in the area. So we invite all the audience to call the numbers, go to the Facebook page, and then come back to KGVM 95.9, especially on KGVM.org, whereby you can listen to this program as many times as you want after it's uploaded. And this program does air on Monday evenings at 7 and on Thursday mornings at 9. And so you can listen to it in about a week or two, probably. Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Gallatin Valley, keep listening to KGVM 95.9. And we thank you and our beautiful guests for being with us today. We'll see you later.